Begin the current daf himself, it's Babakama daf chaf. Begin on the top line of the Amud, but the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, on the previous daf in Amud Beis, the Gemara introduced the next Mishnah, of this explaining the Mu'adim mitchilasin of the first parak, regarding the mazik of Shein. Shein is the characteristic that the animal uses its teeth to derive pleasure by consuming the other person's produce. Now, as the Gemara explained, it's only if something that's urche, that's normative for it to happen, that's the characteristic of all the mazikin except for Karen. When an animal does something that's mishuna, that's abnormal, although it might be using its teeth, it's not going to be shein. It might be using its legs, but it's not going to be regal. So that's why our Gemara continues on that theme, explaining different types of incidents regarding how do we characterize that hezek. As the Gemara explains, Hahu barcha, there's a certain goat. The chaza lifta apuma de dana. It saw a turnip on the top of a barrel. Sarech slick. So it climbed and it went up to the top of the barrel. Achla lelifta, v'tavra ledana. So it ended up doing two things. It ate the turnip, and in the process of doing that, it broke the barrel. Says the Gemara, Chai ve'rava alifta v'adana nezik shalom. He said that there's a liability on the turnip and on the barrel for the whole amount of the damages. My time, what's the reason? Since it's normative for an animal, a goat, to want to eat the turnip, so it's also normal for it to go climb up and to get up there, which in the process, of course, is going to break the barrel. So what the Gemara was forewarning was that one might think that for the barrel, that would be like Karen, where it's just to destroy Kavanas Lahazik. What pleasure does an animal get? Why would it be normal for an animal to break a barrel? It is, in this context, because it had the turnip on the top, it's normal for an animal to try to get there and in the process to break it. Therefore, you're going to be chayv nezik shalom on not only the turnip, which is shein, but even, which is normal, that of breaking of the barrel. Amar Ilfa. Ilfa says, Behem b'rishus harabim, another halacha regarding this mazik of shein. He says, if there's an animal in the public domain, but pashta tzavara v'achla megabik chaverta, here also the Gemara is forewarning another concept, where generally there's a tour of shein and regal in Rosh Hashanah, you're not chayiv for eating. But says Ulfa, even if the animal's in the public domain, but it stretches out of its neck, and it eats from the back of the other animal, chayaves, the animal is going to be liable, although they're both in the public domain. My time, what's the reason? Gabi chaverta kechotzer hanizik dami. The back of the other animal is like a portable, a mobile domain of the damaged party's property. Because that's his property. It's the Rishos of the Nizik, albeit that animal is mobile in the Rishos of Rabban. That's the Rishos of the Nizik, and therefore you can be chayiv, like Ubir Bistayachar. So says the Gemara, Le Mesayele, let's say the following Brisa supports this halacha of Ilfa. The Brisa says, let's say somebody was walking in the Rishos of Rabban, public domain, and he has his sack, his basket, hanging from behind him, over his back. And then it says, and the animal stretches out its neck and eats from his basket. Chayaves, so then the owner of the animal is going to be liable. Seemingly, even though it's in Rosh Hashanah. But in his basket is his Rosh Hashanah Nizik, and that's why there's liability, seeming like Ilfa had said. So I think Gemara says, no, it's not a raya, because could the Amar Rava be kefetzes? We could say how Rava says in a different context, which the Gemara will shortly explain, which was talking about when the animal jumps up and stands on its feet, where it reaches out, sticking out its neck, where it's not normal for an animal to do that. So as the Gemara will shortly explain, so Rav explains, the liability is not because you'll have a chiyuv of shein in Rosh Hashanah because of like a chatzar nizik, rather it's because of a toilod of keren, because it's actually abnormal, and the liability is regarding chatzin nizik, hachanami b'kefetzes. You could say that this b'raisa is talking about a case, why is it chayiv for eating off the basket that the guy has behind his back? Not because it's Rosh Hashanah Nizik to be chayv as shein, it's actually because it's not normal for an animal to jump and eat, and therefore the liability of Rosh Hashanah Rabban is because it's Karen, and Karen is chayv Rosh Hashanah Rabban. So actually the liability is not for the Nezik Shalom, it's actually the Chatzin Nezik like Karen. Now the Gemara explains of Heche Itmet the Rava, where was Rava's halacha said that we're borrowing his concept of saying that it's not a raya from this price to Ilfa because we could say it's Kefetzes? Ahad Amar Reb Eishia was going on this following halacha that Reb Eishia had said. Basically, it said behemah b'rishus harabim. Let's say there's an animal in the public domain. So holcha va'achla p'tur. If the animal is walking and going and it eats, so then that's classic shein rishus harabim. So the owner is going to be exempt. But amda va'achla chayevus. If the animal stands and it eats, then the owner is going to be liable. The question is, ma'ishna holcha d'orchehu. What's the difference? Why, if when it's walking, then you're exempt because that's normal? That's classic shein. which shame Rishus Ram is potter. So amdenami beurchehu. It's very normal for an animal to stand in one place and eat the food that's in Rishus Ram. Why they are you chayiv? So Amar Rabbi, he said an explanation bekayfetzes. This, it doesn't mean just that it stopped in one place. It means it's standing, it jumped up. That's where we're saying Oymedes, Rishus Ram is going to be chayiv. What's the chiyuv? Not because of shein, but actually because of karen. Because it's abnormal for an animal to do that in an act of consumption, or whatever way it is to get to the food where it's jumping. That's why it's going to be chayiv. So too, you could say that the previous price does not support ilfa, because it's not because the basket is considered Rishus Anizik. Rather, the chayiv is because of karen, which is chayiv Rishus Ram. Now, another topic regarding this halach of shein. So the Gemara says, Boy Reb Zeira. Bzeir asked the following question. Miskalgul mahu, what's the halacha if the produce that's getting damaged by the animal that's eating it, if it rolls from one domain to another, what's the halacha? As the Gemara explains, hechadomain, what's the case talking about? Kugin de kaima amur b'shus hayachin. The bundle of straw is actually in the private domain. Now, the animal is in the Rishus Harab, he's in the public domain. Now the animal is rolling it, is pulling it from the private domain, from the Rishus HaNizik to the Rishus HaRabim. So my, what's the halacha? In other words, the question is, do you go based on where the consumption is? Where's the animal eating it? In Rishus HaRabim. Shein Rishus HaRabim is potter. Or do you go from where the animal took it from, which is from the Rishus HaNizik, and then you're going to be chav, because that's b'stei achar. Now as Rashi points out, so too the Gemara could have asked the other way around too. Let's say the animal was in the Rishus HaNizik, but the bundle of straw of that owner was in the Rishus HaRabim, and then the animal goes and rolls it from Rishus HaRabim back to the Rishus HaYachid, to the domain of the Nizik, then the same question would be, do you go based on where the consumption is, where therefore that would be a liability, because he's in the Rishus HaNizik, or do you go from where he took it from, and since the bundle actually is in Rishus HaRabim, then he would be exempt. So that's the Gemara's question. That's Reb Zeira's question. So the Gemara says, Toshima, let's bring a raya, the Tanya Rebchia. We have a Bryce and Rebchia taught as follows. Masui, a bundle, which the Gemara assumes it means a bundle that's full of animal feed, meaning full of barley. Miktsase bifnim, umiktsase bechutz. Part of it is in the Rishus HaNizik, and part of it is outside in Rishus HaRab. So says the Bryce, achla bifnim chayevis. If it eats inside in the Rishus HaNizik, then it's going to be liable. Achla bechutz ptur. If it eats outside in Rishus HaRab, then it's going to be exempt. So says the Gemara. The Gemara assumes, my love, what does it mean when it says that if it eats it inside or outside? It means to say if it eats up the whole thing. So what does it mean? What's inside, what outside? It's saying that if it eats up the whole thing when he's on the inside, meaning, misgalgul va'asi, if he rolls it and it comes to him. In other words, if he, let's say he rolls the whole thing to him when he's on the inside, then he's going to be chayv. If let's say the animal's on the outside and he rolls the whole thing to him outside, he's going to be exempt. So what do you see from there? You see that it depends where he's eating it. Even if half was in or half was out, we don't care which half it is, wherever it is that he is when he's eating it, and he rolls it to himself, he pulls it to himself, that's where the chiyuv is going to depend on. So you see the halacha that it depends on where the animal's eating it. So therefore, let's say it was in Rishus HaYachid and he pulls it to Rishus HaRam, then he's going to be exempt, because it depends on where he eats it. So the Gemara says, Loi, no, it's not a raya. Ema, that achla amashe bifnim chayevis. It's not going on the animal. When it says achla bifnim or achla bachutz, the Gemara had assumed it's referring to the animal, where the animal is eating it. Now the Gemara is saying, no, you could say the subject is actually the food that's being damaged. That if it eats what was in the bifnim, what was in the inside in Rishus HaNizik, then chayevis, then the owner of the animal is going to be chayev. Amashe bachutz ptur, regarding that part of the food that was on the outside, that the owner of the animal is going to be exempt. In other words, because to the contrary, you could say, and therefore there's no raya, that what was originally on the outside, that the owner is going to be exempt. But what was originally on the inside, then he's going to be chayiv, because you go based on where it was taken from, whether it was on the inside or the outside, not based on where it eats. So therefore there's no raya. Ibay Seyma, or the Gemara says, if you want, you could say, that truthfully, it was like we had assumed in the Gemara's question, that when it says what it eats, where it eats in the inside, then you're going to be chayiv. That means that if the animal's on the inside, he's going to be chayiv for everything, even what was on the outside. And when we said that if what he eats on the outside is going to be exempt, it's also going on everything, even what was originally on the inside. Well, then seemingly that should be a raya, that gilgul milsahu, like the words of Rashi, meaning that where you roll it to, meaning where you end up eating it, is the defining characteristic. So I think Mar says, no, that still wouldn't be a raya. Because even though it's seemingly that's what the halach is, depending where the animal ends up eating it, but ki kamer Reb Chiya, the reason why it wouldn't be a rai is because that brisa of Reb Chiya that talks about this masoi, the Gemara qualifies it. Now again, it's not like we had assumed that it was a pile of barley, but rather bipsila de aspasta. It's talking about a bundle of shachas, and Rashi says it just used the word psila, which means literally a wick. It's because we're talking about a long type of produce, which is shachas, which is this aspasta, meaning in the beginning stages of a plant, where the leaves are very long. Now, since it's talking about one object, which is very long, so one end of it is in the inside, in the Rishus HaNizik, one part of it is on the outside, in Rishus HaRabim. Now, since wherever the animal is, if it's going to be eating it, it's going to be pulling it from the other domain, so therefore, you view it as if it's in one place. In other words, wherever the animal is, when it's eating it, that's why in that halach Reb Chiya, you go based on where the animal is. But that wouldn't reflect and answer the question that was posed before by Reb Zeira, because we were asking, let's say, regarding something like barley, which are, they're each individual small seeds. Now, when you have, let's say, half and half, in such a case, you would have the barley seeds in the inside, nothing to do with those in the outside, and those in the outside, nothing to do with the inside. So therefore, that's where the question was, do we say that based on where the animal is, where it ended up eating it, or where it took it from? That you can't prove from this Braisa B'chia, because that's talking about where the part that's on the outside and the animal's eating it there, well, we view even what was on the inside and the outside because it's all connected, because it's one long piece. But regarding something that's totally in a different domain, that wouldn't be a raya that when the animal's pulling it, that you would go based on where the animal is. It could still be based on where it took it from, even if you said the Braisa B'chia was talking about where the animal is, that's where the halacha is going to be. That's only because it's one long thing, and therefore you see that if the one end where the animal is eating it, it is connected even though the other half is in the other domain. Then the Gemara says, two answers why it's not a raya from this brisa to resolve the question of Reb Zeira, do you go based on where the animal is or where the food is? So the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our Mishnah of the Mazik of Shein. So the Mishnah said that not everything that an animal eats is going to be a chiv of Nezik Shalom, because achlik sus v'chulu, let's say, ends up eating garments or utensils, so then it's not going to be nezik shalom, that's abnormal, that's karen, it's going to be only a chiv of chatzi nezik. Now, then the Mishnah qualified and said, b'med v'amrum, when did we say this halacha b'shus ha-nizik? Which, there's two halachas that were said before that qualification. There was the halacha of shein and shein, which we know shein is only in the rishus ha-nizik, it has to be bir b'ste'achar, in someone else's field, but in the public domain rishus ha-ram, you're going to be examined. But before made the qualification by Medvam Murum, the next one right before the Medvam Murum was regarding Achlik Sus, regarding what was essentially Karen, because it's abnormal, that is a Chiv V'chatzi Nezik. Now it sounds like that word by Medvam Murum will be going back on what was said right before, even regarding Karen, which Karen is usually Chai Mishra. So the Gemara is Ahai. So this qualification of by Medvam Murum, what was it going back on? So it's actually Machlikis Amiram. Amarav, he says, this that the Mishnah said that in Rishus Ram you're going to be Pater is Akulu, is on all of them, not just on the classic Shein, which we know is Pater Rishus Ram. Even when the animal eats garments and utensils, which is abnormal and the Toilod of Karen, even there, the animal is going to be exempt. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? We know Karen is Chayv Rishus Ram. So that the Gemara explains, this case is different. Why? Because Kol HaMashana, whoever deviates, for example, over here, this guy who left his clothing and his utensils in the Rishus HaRabim, that's abnormal. Why are you leaving your stuff in the middle of the street? Now, somebody else does something abnormal to the abnormal person, for example, here where the animal does something not normal, eating garments, Pater, says Rav, is going to be exempt. So although Karen is Chayv Rishus HaRabim, that's only when there's something that is normal for the Nizik to have been doing. Let's say his animal is walking, he had food, and he was carrying it, and the animal eats it. But if he did something abnormal, and someone else does something abnormal back to him, that is actually very normal. And that's something that says, Rab, that is going to be an exemption. Just like there's an exemption for Shein and Rishus HaRab. Now, Shmuel says, Lo yishanu ele peris v'irakas. He says, no. This halacha, this exemption of the mission, of the qualification of a Patur and Rishus HaRab, was only going back in the first halacha, of when the animal eats produce and vegetables, where that's regular Shein and Rishus HaRab. But the animal eating garments or utensils, that's classic Karen. It's abnormal. Karen is going to be chayv. He doesn't hold of this heter of this p'tur of kol mishanu bo'achar b'shina bo'i. If someone does something abnormal and someone else does something back abnormal to him, that's also going to be a p'tur. He doesn't say that, he says it's going to be chayiv. So the Gemara says v'chein. So too we have the same achleikis. Amr shlokish akulu. He says the qualification of the p'tur in Shizram is going on both cases. V'oz du shlokish le'tamei. And shlokish goes according to the opinion mentions elsewhere. The Amr shlokish, as shlokish says, shtei paris b'shizram. There's two cows in the public domain. Achas revutza v'achas malechas. One of them is just laying there in the street, and one of them is walking. So if bata malechas b'revutza, let's say the animal that's walking kicks the one that's laying there. So b'tura. So the owner of the animal that kicks is going to be exempt, because although when you do b'ita, which is kicking, it's kavanos lahazik, it's the lada of Karen, and Rish Hashram usually chayiv, here, says Rish Lakish, you're going to be pater. Why? Because kolam ashana, for example, here, where the animal laying in the street is something abnormal, now the other animal does something also abnormal, which is to kick, is going to be potter. So that's why he says similar regarding the qualification of the Mishnah, of the halach of our Mishnah. Now, revutza b'malech is chayiv, but he says if, let's say, the animal that's laying kicks the animal that was walking, that for sure is going to be chayiv, because that's Karen, b'shus ram, and the first animal wasn't doing something mishunah to say, uba'ach b'shinah b'is potter. Now, Rabbi Yechidam, he disagrees, again, as we said with Shmuel, Loishon el Paris for your rockets. He says, no. The Mishnah is Ptur and Shizram was going back only on the first halacha, on regular Shein. But if it ate Ksus V'Kelim, then it's Karen, it's going to be Chayiv in Rosh Hashanah. Now the Gemara says, Leim Rabbi Yechanan, less laid to Rosh Lakish. So we see Rabbi Yechanan disputes Rosh Lakish in the explanation about Mishnah. So ask the Gemara, let's say that he disputes even Av Filibish Dei Paris, even regarding the other halacha that we said Rosh Lakish is going to Shetasai, that Rabbi Yechanan would disagree there too. And he would say that, no, there is no Ptur of and therefore, actually, you would be chayiv if the animal that was walking kicks the animal that was laying there. And that the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. Lo ilam isli. We could say Rabbi Yechanan agrees to that halacha of Rish Lakish. Now, what would be the difference in the halacha of our Mishnah then? If he holds of kol mashana ba'achav b'shina by potter, why wouldn't he say that the Ptur Rosh Hashanah is even regarding the second halacha of our Mishnah of achlaksus v'kelim? Because it's also not normal for somebody to leave his clothing in the street. And that the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Yechanan would differentiate. Ksus avdi inchi deman chiklimi umispachi. Regarding a person's jacket, his garment, it is normal, it could happen for a person to put it down when he's resting in the street and he puts it down and then an animal comes and then kicks it and ruins it. So therefore it didn't hold that will enter the p'tur of kol mishana bo'achar b'shina bo'i p'tur. And therefore he said the qualification of Rosh Hashanah p'tur is only on the first halacha. Of behema lav orcha, but for an animal to lay down in the street, that's not normal. And therefore, maybe he would agree to Rish Lakish in that halacha that you would say kol mashano bo'achar b'shina b'ayi would be potter. Now the Gemara continues going back to the halacha of our Mishnah that said, although there is a p'tur of shem mishus rabim, but v'imnenis mishalemis v'chulu, but if the animal and thus the owner gets pleasure from the item that was consumed, then the owner has to pay for the amount of pleasure that he gained from it. So although you're not chayiv for the mazik of shein, but you are chayiv for the benefit of that other person's produce, which now you don't have to feed your animal. Now, however, the Gemara has to become, now how much do you have to pay? You don't have to pay for the amount of damages, that's the mazik of shein. So you have to pay for the amount of benefit. Now, how do you qualify benefit? So it's a machlikis. Rabbi Amr says, Demei Amr, you pay for the amount of a pile of straw. In other words, if let's say the animal ate barley to satiate it. Now, you don't have to pay the amount of value of the barley, which is much more expensive, because I don't feed my animal barley. I only have to pay, says Rabbah, the amount that I would take for the animal to feel full with straw, which he says, I don't feed barley, I feed him straw. So good, now I don't have to feed my animal the daily straw. Fine, I'll pay you a penny on the dollar, which is how much straw is, in contrast to the barley. That's how much you have to pay, that's the amount of pleasure. Rav Amei disagrees. He says, no. You have to pay him the cheapest price you can get for barley. In other words, let's say the owner wanted to give his good stuff. You don't get the unleaded, you don't get the best fuel. But look, if I can get a really cheap price, I'll go for it. So that's how Rav qualifies the same thing over here. He says that, look, if I really wanted to give my animal barley, which is maybe better for him, then I would only give it if I get the cheapest price possible. Now, because I normally wouldn't want to just give him barley. So that's what he says. So you give the cheap, how you would get cheap barley, which as Rashi explains from the Gemara Baba Basra, so that would be 2/3 of the price. If I can get 2/3 of the price, okay, fine, I'll give the good stuff. But if not, I would normally wouldn't give barley. So that's how he says, that's how much you have to pay. That's mishalemes mashanenes. That's already considered benefiting from the whatever the expensive item that the animal ate up. I wouldn't give him that type of thing. But two-thirds of the price, that's how much you have to pay. So the Gemara says, Tanika Vasei Derabba, Tanika Vasei Derabba. We have a brisa supporting either opinion. As the Gemara explains, Tanika Vasei Derabba, we have a brisa like Rabba, who said you only have to pay what you would normally, the cheapest stuff, meaning straw, not even barley. As Reb Shimon ben Yechai Omer, he says, Eimesh Alemes, Ildemei Omer Bolvad, he says clearly like Rabba, that you only have to give the amount of how much straw would cost. I don't care that you gave that he ate up barley. I'm exempt. Shein B'shoz Aram. Fine, how much did I gain? I gained that I don't have to give him the daily straw. Now, Tanik of Asay de Rabba, we have a Brisa supporting Rabba. Imnenis Mishalemes Mishanemis, the Brisa quotes this halacha, says, but if the animal, if the owner now has benefit, so he has to pay how much the benefit was. So says the Brisa Ketzat, how do you qualify this? If he eats a measure of a kav or two kavim, ain oimrim tashalom demim. So you don't say that he has to pay the value of what was damaged. That's shem b'shus ram. You're exempt. Elo oimdim, but rather we evaluate kama adam reitz lahachal lebehemtoy. How much would a person be willing to feed to his animal? Dava harola, something that's fit for the animal, something that's good. Av pishen the ragel, even though he's not accustomed to giving him, let's say, giving him barley tea. He usually gives him straw, but how much would he be willing to give the good stuff? If he can get it cheap, so then that's how much he has to pay the value of the barley, how much a person would normally give his animal if he got a cheap price, which again, as we explained from Rashi, that's two-thirds of the price. Now, moreover, says this Bryce Lefikach, therefore, since that's how we qualify the halacha mishalemes mishanenes, which is based on what's fit for the animal, I would if I got a really cheap price. Now, it goes the other way too. So let's say the animal, what it ends up eating in the street is wheat or something that's actually bad for the animal. Now the owner of the animal didn't get any benefit of anything. Now this is going to ruin the health of the animal. Actually, Ptura, the owner of the animal, is going to be exempt if it ate this Mishra Saram because A, it's Shein Mishra Saram, you Ptura on the Hesek. And moreover, there's no Mishalemes Mishananis because I didn't gain anything. It's actually made it worse for my animal eating all this junk food, whatever it ate, and therefore then you would be exempt. Now, the Gemara continues, which will relate to the halacha of Mishnah. The Gemara says, "Amalei Rav Chizda l'Rami Bar Chama." Rav Chizda said to Rami Bar Chama, "says Lahaves Gabon beurta b'tchuma. Last night you weren't with us in the tchum, meaning you weren't close that you could have came. The ibaylan milim al yasa. You missed a good shmooze. We had a really good question that was posed. So Amalei said, "My milim al yasa. What was this good topic that was being discussed?" So Amalei said as follows: "Hador bechatzur chaveri shalom idaitiv. Someone." Is squatting, he's living in someone else's courtyard without the person's awareness. Does he have to pay him for the amount of rent or not? So the Gemara explains, what's the case talking about? And that is, if it was a courtyard which wasn't up for rent, he wasn't interested in renting it out, it's not for a price. Moreover, the gavur deloy ovid lemeger, it was a type of a person that doesn't usually rent. In other words, this guy who is living in the courtyard without permission, without awareness of the owner, he doesn't usually rent properties, either because he has other places where he could borrow and live to stay the night, or he has another house, whatever it is, he wouldn't ever pay for a night stay. Now, says the Gemara, if that's the case, well then zeloy nena, the guy who was living there didn't gain anything because he has other places to stay for free. And the owner of the property didn't lose anything because he doesn't rent it out anyways. Says the Gemara, if that would be the case, obviously he would be pot. Now, Ella, rather, what are you going to say? B'chatzad the kaimala agra. So rather, it's talking about a courtyard that is up for rent. V'gavar da'avad lemeger. It's talking about a guy that has no place to stay. He would pay if he had to, if he had no other place. Says the Gemara, well then, zenena, that's a case of this guy who's staying there is benefiting, because or else he would have had to rent a room in the motel. V'zeh chatzer, and this guy, the owner of the chatzer, is losing because he would normally rent out the courtyard to other people. Now, as Taisa says, but as long as people see somebody's living there, no one's going to want to rent out the place. They say, oh, he probably has, it's not vacant, he has a guy that's living there. So there it's obvious that he's going to be chay. Says the Gemara, Lo Yitzricha, rather, the case that the question was about was in the following case. B'chatzer delay kaimel agra. It's a courtyard where the guy doesn't usually rent it out. V'gavar da'avad lemeger. But it's talking about a guy who he would normally rent. I mean, he has nowhere else to go. If he couldn't squat in this guy's courtyard, he would be paying someone to stay. So that's a case of zenene v'zeh lechatzer. This guy's gaining. But on the other hand, this guy's not losing because he wouldn't be renting it out anyways. My, what's the halacha? The Gemara explains the question. Matzi amalei maichasar ticha. Could the guy who was staying there say to the owner of the field, says, what did I make you lose? Either way, you wouldn't have been renting it out, so you didn't lose by me staying there. Dilma matzi amar, maybe the owner of the field could tell the guy who was staying there, as we continue, Tamad Beis, ha is hanis, but you gained off my courtyard, because if not for my courtyard, you would have had to rent another place. So there you have to pay me. What's halacha? Do we go based on this guy gaining, or the fact that, which therefore he would have to pay, or this guy not losing, therefore he wouldn't have to pay? So Malay said to him, oh, masnitin, he says, it's a Mishnah. So he said back, hi masnitin, what Mishnah is this? So Malay said to him, lechita shamishli, he says, when you serve me, in other words, when you do something for me, then I'll tell you. So shakal sudri karachle, so he went and he took his cloak, and he folded it for him. So Malay, after he did that act of service, he said to him, it's our Mishnah here in Baba Kama Kitzidaregel. We, as we quoted, it says, imnenis, if the owner of the animal that ate of someone else's produce in Rosh Hashanah, where he's exempt, but he said that if he gained, if he had benefit, mishalemis mashanenis, then he has to pay what he benefited. So, therefore he said, what do you see? You see that you get, the barometer is the benefit of the person that's gaining. And therefore it has nothing to do with the chaser or not. It's based on the benefit. The guy benefits, he benefits, and therefore he has to pay. So therefore it's clear that in this case, even though this guy wouldn't be renting it out, but you benefited, you have to pay me for the benefit that you're able to stay the night. Now, Amar Rava, Rava said when he heard about this interaction, this dialogue, he says, Kamaloi choli v'loi margish, how he didn't even notice, Gavra, a man, demari saye, that his master, that Hashem, is helping him, meaning Rami Bar Chama. Because said Rava, the Avagav d'loi dami, even though the question that was posed is not comparable to Masnitin to the Mishnah that he was answering from, still Kibla, still Rav Chisda, received Minei from Rami Bar Chama, and he didn't ask and say, what do you bring me a raya from the Mishnah? That's not a raya. Because as Rav explains, that's not an answer. Because hi, the case of our Mishnah is Zenene v'zechaser. When the Mishnah says that Mishalemis Mishanenes, it's not just the benefit. The guy's losing too. The guy's eating up his produce. So Zenene v'zechaser. Zenene v'zechaser, of course you have to pay. But v'hai, the question that was asked to him was Zenene v'zechaser. The question that was asked was a case when the guy's benefiting and the other guy's not losing. That's where we had the question. How could Rami Bar Chama have answered it from our Mishnah when there's a case of Zenene v'zechaser? Zenene v'zechaser, of course you're going to have to pay. So therefore he says he didn't realize how Hashem is helping him, that the one who was asking him a question didn't say, how can you say that? Now, the Gemara answers, Rami Bar Chama, Stam Peris B'Shus Ram, he held that when the person has produce in the public domain, Afkur Mafkalahu, he declares it ownerless. In other words, actually, it's a case of, according to Rami Bar Chama, of Zenena B'Zeloi Chaser. He wasn't losing because he knows it's going to end up getting ruined and lost in the Rosh Hashanah Ram. And therefore, he's Mafkir, he gives up on it. So therefore, says Rami Bar Chama, no, it is a Raya because it is a case of Zenena B'Zeloi Chaser, and still you see the Mishnah is Machayivim to pay the Hanah. Therefore, he says, you see, it's based on the hana of the guy who's getting hana, and then even if the guy is not losing, you're still going to have to pay him. But the Gemara continues trying to bring a riot to this question when it's zenene v'zelechaser, because as Rava said, seemingly the case of Mishnah is not a riot, it's a case of zenene v'zelechaser. So the Gemara says, Tanan, let's bring a riot from a Mishnah in Baba Basra. The Mishnah says as follows, Hamakiv chaveiro misholesh ruchaysav. If somebody surrounds his friend from his fields on three sides. So let's say Reuben has three fields on the perimeter of Shimon's field, which is in between, in middle of those three fields, like a ches, on three sides. Now, v'gadr, now Reuben goes and fences in Esharishayna, the first field that he has near Shimon's. In other words, besides that Reuben has his fields surrounded on the outer perimeter, now he goes and he fences in between him and Shimon on the inner perimeter. So he fences the first one, Vesashniya, then the second one, Vesashlisha, then the third one, which as some Rashis have the picture over here where you see that Reuben's field is like almost like a doorway, a ches, and inside is Shimon's field. So now, besides that Reuben was surrounded on the outside from between him and all the other people, now he even goes and makes a fence between him and Shimon, who is on the inside. Says the Mishnah Baba Basa, Ein Mechayv Noisei, we don't hold Shimon liable to pay anything for the amount of the fencing that was done between him and Reuben, because what did he gain? Because anyways, his field is open on the fourth side, so he's not protected. So the fact that Reuven fenced him in on three sides, great. All you need is one open doorway where everyone can come in and do whatever harm they want to do. So it doesn't really help me. And therefore, Shimon's going to be exempt from paying anything to share in the expenses of the fences between him and Reuven. Now, but the Gemara makes an inference. Haravi is, but if, let's say, Reuven had four fields on the four sides of Shimon, totally surrounding Shimon, and he fenced in all the fields between him and Shimon, it would sound like, then we would hold Shimon liable to give his portion of the costs of the fences that was made between him and Reuven. So what do you see from there? Says the Gemara, Shema Mina, from there you can infer that Zenene, when you have Shimon who's gaining, Vizeloi Chaser, and Reuven who's not losing, because anyways he had the fence in his field, to separate between him and Shimon, that Chayib, we're going to hold Shimon liable to have to pay for the amount of benefit that he gets, because now he's fenced in. Zenene, Vizeloi Chaser. And so you see he's going to be Chayib. The Gemara says, no, not a right. Shani Hasim, there it's different. Because the Amar Leh, because Reuven could tell Shimon, At Geram Talih, Hakefi Yisari, you caused me to have to do more fencing now. In other words, if not for your field, says Reuven to Shimon, but in middle of my fields, I'm totally surrounding your fields, it would have been enough for me to just make my outer walls that I had separating between me and all the other fields. And then I would have had everything already fenced in. So therefore, as Rashi says it, it's still considered that Shimon is causing Shimon's causing Reuven some chaser. Whereas the Mefarshim explained, as Tosis here on the top of the Amid talks about, is the part of the principle of this halacha is because of Midas Sedoim. If somebody's getting something and you're not losing, what's your problem? Let him enjoy. It's a good salat. Just let him have. Now, but if Zenen is a chasa, what do you mean? He shouldn't have to gain off my loss. So therefore, then he could have to pay what he owes you. So it's part of the question by Zenen and Vizalei Chaser. So, you know, look, he's gaining, let him pay. Or do you say, no, you're not losing, why do you have to pay? So what the Gemara is saying is you can't prove this from this Mishnah Baba Basra, because even if we would make Shimon Chayiv, it's because Reuven is saying that, no, he's causing me a loss. What's the loss? You would have to do it anyway. Yeah, but it's because his field is dear. So the fact that he's gaining, it's not just happened to be gaining. Your gain is really because of the fact that you causing me this loss that I have to go ahead and put up defenses between me and you. Therefore, it's not so much midas hadoim, like, what's your problem? Like, go ahead, let him get it for free. You would have to do it anyway because he's there. It's not true. It's because he's there that I have to do it. So on some level, it is like a zenen of a zechaser, and maybe that's why over there we would be mechayev shimon, but a real absolute zenen of a zechaser, then maybe we would say that he would be potter. So it's not a raya. So the Gemara says, Tashma, come in here, let's bring a raya where the Mishnah there continues. Amr Biyasi, Biyasi says over there in the Mishnah Baba Basra, says, Im Amad Nikaf, if Shimon, the one who was surrounded on the three sides, after Reuben already put up three walls, but as we said, that he's open on the fourth wall, then it doesn't really help that what Reuben did for him, therefore he's pater in that absolute halacha. We were going on the diak, and that if, let's say, Reuben actually put up a fourth, he was surrounded on all four sides, then they'd be chayiv. But if it's only on three sides, so he's exempt. But says Rabbi Yosef, let's say now Shimon goes ahead and he goes, man, that's pretty cool. Reuben now surrounded me on three sides. There's really just one side I need. So if the nikkav, if Shimon goes ahead, v'gadas revis, now he goes, and he now puts up his own fourth wall between him and everybody else. So essentially what he has done is revealed that he's appreciative. In other words, he likes the fact that Reuben surrounded him on three sides. So Rabbi Yosef, now magalgalam esakoyl. Now, oh, we see that he was liking this. Now he has to share in the portion of the three walls that separate between him and Reuven. He has to now share in the expenses now. Because he showed that he is na-na-na. Up until now, he could have said, what did you do for me? You didn't do anything for me. Oh, but you see that he did do for you because you put up a wall now. You obviously want to separate. Now the three walls that Reuven helped you with, now you got to go ahead and share in those expenses. So, says the Gemara, time of the God of Nikif. It sounds like that's only because Shimon himself put up the fourth wall. Hamakiv, but if, let's say, Reuven, who surrounds him, would have bought that fourth field on the other side, and then he would have put up a fourth wall between him and Shimon, that potter, that we would have said Shimon is going to be exempt, it's only because Shimon himself reveals that he, by putting up the fourth wall, that he wants it. But if, let's say, he wouldn't have done anything, Reuven himself would have bought the remaining one around Shimon and would have put up a fourth wall, he would have been exempt. Says the Gemara, what do you see from Rabbi Yosi? Shema mina zenen v'zelechasa pater. When this guy gains, where Shimon totally gains now, he's closed on those sides, no one could get to him. And where Reuben is not losing anything because Reuben would have to do it anyway because he wants to protect himself from Shimon who's on the inside, then you're going to be pater. So the Gemara says, no, Shani Hasan, there it's different. Because the Amale, because Shimon the Nikif, the one who's surrounded, can tell Reuben, look, Lididi, Sagili benetir barzuza. If it was up to me, yes, of course I'm getting some benefit. And I'll pay you that minimal benefit, which is something that costs a zuz to protect me. I can't afford your fancy brick walls that you made between me and you. For me, if you were to put up just some thorn bushes, which would protect me, it costs minimal, I would have been happy with that too. So therefore, what essentially the Gemara is saying is that the case of Rabbi Yosi, why, yes, if the Nikiv does it, he's Chayiv, but if the Makiv does it, he's going to be Pater, is because there's no real Nen over there. It's not Zen Nen and Vizeli Chaser. The reason why it's not Nen is because I didn't need your expensive walls. I'm not really gaining. I would have been happy with something very, very cheap, and therefore that's why he's not going to have to pay for the expensive prices, but yes, he would pay for the minimal type of thing. Therefore, it doesn't really tell us regarding the case of Zen Nen and Vizeli Chaser, it's not really a Nen. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a Raya from Mishnah Bava Metzia. Mishnah there talks about a case of habayis, where you have two-story house. The bayis, the ground floor, is owned by one person. Valiyah, and the second story, which on top of it, is owned by somebody else. So it's shel shnayim, it's owned by two people. Shenafla, where the building collapses. Now, amar bal aliyah, so the second-story person tells labal habayis to the first-story person, live nice to build. I can't build the second story without the first story. Vuena writes, the guy on the first floor says, I don't want it anymore. I'm done with this already. I'm not building. So says the Mishnah, Bal Aliyah bein the bayis. So what does the second story guy do? I can't, I'm stuck now because you don't want to build a first story? So he builds a first floor. The second story guy builds the first floor. Now he lives in the first story until the owner of the first story decides to get back in and pay him for his expenses. And then, okay, so you'll pay for me. Okay, now you can take the first story. Now I'll build my second story on top. But until he's willing to engage, he could live there. And then, until he's willing to pay for the expenses, he lives there. Now, the Gemara makes an inference. Sounds like that the first story guy, the owner of the ground floor, would have to pay the second story guy for the expenses. Now, but it sounds like that with the amount of rent doesn't get deducted from the expenses. In other words, this guy, let's say, was living there for 2 years. The second story guy, after he built himself the ground floor. He's not building two floors, doesn't need two floors. He would normally live on the second floor, but this guy's not building, so he lives there a year, 2 years. Finally, the guy comes back and says, no, okay, you know what? I realize I want to live here. This is my ground floor. I'll pay you how much it costed. Then you go ahead and build your second story. So it sounds like that's all the Mishnah talks about. It doesn't say that, but you lived there for 2 years. This is my ground floor. Now that I paid you for it, it was always mine. You got to pay me. It doesn't say that. So says the Gemara, Shema Mina Zen Nena. So what we see is that when this guy, the second story guy, he totally gained because he would have had to rent a different place. He had nowhere to live. This is a dispensation that we say he could. It's the first story is not his. It's really that guy's. He's just building it for him and living there until the guy agrees to pay what the expenses are. But he's gaining because he would have to rent somewhere else. And the guy who owns the ground floor is really not losing because if not for the second story guy, he didn't even want to build in all that time. So it wouldn't have been even a structure over there to say that, oh, I could have gotten something else. You weren't getting anything. You weren't building. So and still we see Potter. We see that the guy, the second story guy who's gaining those 2 years, whatever it was that he was living there, he doesn't get deducted, doesn't have to pay for the rent because it's Zanen and Vazelechasin. You see a Potter. So Gemara says, no, Shani Hasan, there it's different. Because the base of Aliyah Mishtabit. Ultimately, the ground floor guy is indebted to the second story guy. Why? Because we built a house together. I had the second story, you had the first story. Now, you have to have the ground floor for me to have my second story. And therefore, the reason why here it's different is because the halacha, of course, is going to be siding with the guy who was living there. Why? It's not just a classic Zen and Vizelei Chaser. It's more than that. It's that you owe me. You have to build the ground floor. You don't want to? Okay, so then I can build it, and of course, I don't have to pay for you because you're supposed to. And that's why you're going to be exempt over there. But maybe a regular Zen and Vizelei Chaser, where the guy who's not losing doesn't owe anything to this guy, you're getting benefit of my property. Maybe in that case, you actually would have to pay. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a raya also from that Mishnah Baba Metzia. Rabbi Huda, he disagrees on the Tanakhama. And he says, no, Avzeh, even in such a case, regarding the second story guy, it's Hador Bechatzer Chaveri Shalom Midaiti. That's a case of somebody living in someone else's courtyard without his consent. So Tzarch Lahalus Leischar. So Rabbi Huda disagrees and says that he has to pay the amount of rent that he lived over there up until the guy agreed to pay the expenses for the ground floor guy. He has to pay him. Says the Gemara, Shmamino, what do you infer from Rabbi Huda's halacha? That Zenen Vezer Lechasur Chayiv, when one guy's gaining, I mean, this guy who for 2 years was living in this guy's ground floor, and this guy was not losing because he didn't even build, he wasn't even interested in building. And yet you see, according to Rabbi Huda, you're going to be Chayiv. So you see Zenen Vezer Lechasur Chayiv. So the Gemara says, no, Shani Hasan, there it's different. Mishum Shachrurisa Da'ash Yasa. Which is, as any new homeowner knows, you don't want to necessarily rent out your house right away and then move in a few years later, because the guy who was there first is going to be blackening the walls. And therefore, it is a case of chaser. But an old house, then you're right. Maybe I would say Zenen Bezer Lechaser would be potter. Here, it's not loy chaser. What do you mean? You weren't going to build it anyway. I know, but now my beautiful new house that, yes, you built for me and I paid you for it now, is not great. It's not in the perfect condition. It is a case of Zenen Bezer Chaser, and that's why he has to be paid. But maybe Rabbi Huda would agree, Zenen Bezer Loy Chaser would be potter. So again, the Gemara didn't resolve the question. So Shalchu Bei Reb Ami, they sent this question of Zenen Bezer Lechaser to Reb Ami, to the yeshiva of Reb Ami, and Amr, he said, V'chima Asalai, Uma Chaser, what did this guy do? What did he make him lose? In other words, this guy was living in someone else's house, which wasn't going to be rented out anyway. Uma Hazeka, what did he damage him? And therefore he was saying, of course, he's going to be potter. What did he do? What did you lose? Why should he have to pay you anything? Now, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, he says, Nisyasha B'dav. He says, we have to look into it. He says, we have to analyze to see it's not so simple what the halacha would be in the Zenen and Bezele Chasim. So, Hadr Shalchu Kamed Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. So later on, he said, we got to think about it. So they sent back to him again. So what do you say? So Amma, he said, Kule hai shalchali va'azeh, will you keep on sending me the question? What do you mean? Ila ashkechi bad taima loy shalchanolo, if I found something regarding this question, you don't think I would have sent you? I don't know. I still got to look into it. It's not such a simple shayla. Now, Idma, we learned, Rav Kahana and Rabbi Yechanan, he says, Ein etzarach lahalis leischar. Rav Kahana said the name of Rabbi Yechanan that you don't have to pay, because he's loy chaser. Whereas Rabbi Vo and Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Vo said the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that tzarach lahalis leischar, that you do have to pay. Yeah, I don't know. You benefited from somebody else. You got to pay him. Now, Amar Papa, Papa says, Hadir Abavo, this is Abavo, said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that Yuchayiv, love beferish it. It was not explicitly that Rabbi Avo heard this from Rabbi Yechanan to say that you're going to be Chayiv. El Machlalitma. Rather, it was inferred by Rabbi Avo, which the Gemara is going to say that it's actually Lav Dafka, rather, it's like Rav Kahana's version, that actually Rabbi Yechanan holds that you don't have to pay, but Rabbi Avo had assumed that's what Rabbi Yechanan was holding, and that's why he said as follows. But it's actually based on the following halacha. That now we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Me'ilah, with the Gemara Masechtas Me'ilah there explains that we're talking about a Gizbar, who's the treasurer for the Hektish items, which the Mishnah there explains, Notel Evan Oikairish Al Hektish. Let's say the treasurer, who he takes care of the warehouse, he's the guy who takes care of all the hektish items. So if let's say he takes a brick or a beam of hektish. So it says the Mishnah, Arizu Le'mal, he has not committed misappropriation of hektish items because it was always in his domain. He's the guy, he's the caretaker, and therefore by taking it, you didn't do any shinui, any deviation, any misappropriation of hektish because you are hektish, you're Mr. Hektish. So by taking it, you didn't do anything yet. So you didn't commit me'ila. But Nesna Lechaveiro, if let's say the gizber, the treasurer, gives it to his friend, now the fact that his friend has acquired it, now, the treasurer has the authority to give it to someone else. But since he did it inappropriately because the guy didn't pay for it, now by giving it to someone else, to taking it out from Hektish to Chulin, now that's an act of Me'ila. So who mal v'chaveir loy mal? Who committed this act of treason, of misappropriation? It was the Gizber, not his friend. Friend didn't do anything, he just received it. The act of removing it from Hektish to Chul, which is what Me'ila is, was committed by the treasurer. Now, a different case. Beno, let's say the treasurer goes and builds it, l'teich beitzai. He builds it into his house. So says the Mishnah, Arizu Le'mal, he has not committed yet treason, misappropriation, because again, wherever he is, his house, it's where he keeps, he's the caretaker of Hektish, atche yodu tachter shav aprut, until he has lived underneath it, a prut is worth, in other words, he has gained where up until now, let's say it was leaking in his house. Now that he put this Hektish item, now he has gained a shav aprut is worth, that's utilizing personal benefit from Hektish, that's Me'ila. Now, Shmuel qualified and he says, Behusha nicha al pi aruba. This halacha was only said if he just placed it on top of the skylight, on top of the opening of the roof. In other words, that he didn't build it into the structure of the house. Therefore, it wouldn't be a shinoi until you live underneath it for a pruta's worth. But if, let's say, he had built it in, then Shmuel says, even if he didn't have any benefit yet, just putting it into the house, that's a shinoi, which is already an act of me'ila. Now, so that was the halacha of that Mishnah. Now, v'yasev Rebbevo kamed Rebbe Yechanan. Now, Rebbevo was sitting in front of Rebbe Yechanan. V'ka'amer mishmei de Shmuel. And he was saying over in the name of Shmuel, this halacha that Shmuel, again, had qualified that Mishnah sets to me'ila, that as follows, that Zoyse Meris, what this says, from the fact that the Mishnah said that when you live underneath that beam of Hektish, then you're going to be chayiv for Me'ila, even though what you're doing is without the awareness and the consent of Hektish, because here you have, he's the treasurer, no one knows anything's being done. There's no das of Hektish here in what's being taken from Hektish. So says Shmuel, and this is what Rebbevo was saying over in front of Rebbe Yechanan, what you could infer is hadar b'chatzcha ve'rishaloi midaita, if someone lives in someone else's courtyard, without the person's awareness, without his consent, you see from this halacha, this Mishnah Masechta, this Me'ila, that he has to pay him. Because that's the same thing happening over here. Here you have an item of Hektish where no one knows anything is happening. The gizbar goes and he gets some benefit. It's without the das of Hektish, and yet Yechayiv. So if you do the same thing by someone else's field, without his awareness, that still, since you're having anah, you'd be Chayiv. So that's Rebbevo said in front of Rabbi Yechanan. B'shasikle, and Rabbi Yechanan was silent. Now, Ihu, so says Rapapa, Ihu Savar, so Rebbevo thought, may the Shasik might delay, and the fact that Rebbe Yechanan is silent, must be he agrees to it. Says Rapapa, Bulahi, but that's not the case. Ashkuchil Ashkech, but he didn't pay attention to what Rebbevo was saying. Because could the Rabbah, actually, it's because like Rabbah says, Dhamma Rabbah says, Hektish Aloy Midas, in a situation where you're misappropriating something from Hektish without Hektish's, quote, awareness, says Rabbah, you cannot say Shaloi Midas by Hektish, because you always have the Das of the Shechina, the omnipotent, the omnipresent God. He knows everything. And therefore, says Rabbah, as we continue the top of Chafal Maralf, Kehedit Midastam. It's actually just like a commoner who knows about it and is aware of it and he's not happy with what you're doing and you're living there. That would be the case of what happens by Shechina. And therefore, says Rav Papa, when Rabbi Yechanan was not responding to Rebbevo, wasn't because he agreed to him, was because he says, that's totally not the halacha. The reason why the halacha is that you're going to be chayiv when you have hana, tachas, kairish al hektish, is because it is with the das of hektish, and you're stealing straight out. That's something where you're going to be chayiv, that's me'ila. That won't prove to a case of chatzach averish shaloi midaitai. In other words, to say this halacha of zenene vizalei chaser, where, because this guy doesn't know, you didn't even know, what's the difference, you didn't lose anything, why should I have to pay by hanah to say, oh, so you see the zenene vizalei chaser is chayiv, like Rebbevo said in the Rabbi Yechanan. He had assumed that Rabbi Yechanan was not responding to him, that he agreed to him, and it's not true, Rabbi Yechanan did not agree. Rather, it's like Rav Kahana's version, name of Rabbi Yechanan, says Rav Papa, that by zenene vizalei chaser, he's actually going to be pater. And there's no raya from the case of Me'ila because there it's not a case of without the yediya of the Baal HaChatzer, because the Shechina knows everything and therefore it's a different type of a case, and therefore there wouldn't be any raya from the case of Me'ila where there it's chayiv to say that you're chayiv even by case of Chatzah Chaver Shlomi Daitai of Zenen Bezele Chatzer to say that you'd be chayiv there too. To the contrary, Rabbi Yechanan could hold that actually you'd be Potter. And so therefore we could say that even though by a case of Hektish where Hektish might not be losing anything and Hektish didn't protest about it beforehand, still there's going to be a chiv because it would be like a chatzer midas where the person is losing and is not okay with what the person is doing.